This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Caring for an aging loved one at the end of life can be complex and confusing. For one adult daughter, it was fraught with unmet needs in assisted living facilities and in hospice.
As Judy Karofsky's mother approached her 100th birthday, she had lived in 6 assisted living facilities in Dane County, while Judy had stayed by her side to the end.
I functioned as the bedtime caregiver. I washed my mom's face, I removed her hearing aids, I changed her into a nightgown. Every night, I turned on a light TV program, although she really wanted to watch CNN News. I transferred her increasingly unstable body to bed. My dog and I both kissed her goodnight, and I drove home, exhausted and haunted by care lapses that could occur in my absence.
Judy Karofsky's new memoir is called Diselderly Conduct, The Flawed Business of Assisted Living and Hospice. Judy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Kate, thank you for asking me to share this topic with your audience.
Your mother died just shy of her 100th birthday. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about Lillian Deutsch and what she was like?
She was a spark plug. People just gravitated toward her. I'll just take you through the period after I went to college. She just walked into one of the largest corporations in America, the New England office of what was then AT&T, and said to them on the ground floor at the receptionist desk, "I'm here for an interview. You have to hire me." Mm-hmm. And they did. So she had a natural a tendency to understand the world around her.
What were her relationships like with her caregivers that surrounded her in these assisted living facilities?
My mom loved her caregivers. I can remember one caregiver coming in on a Sunday on her day off to take my mother to the highest floor in the facility in which she was then living so she could overlook the Madison Lakes, just to spend time with her. Mm-hmm. I can remember another one who, on her day off, brought her newborn son for Lillian to hold.
These relationships, though, were short-lived because of the staffing turnover at these facilities. Is that right?
You're so right, Kate. And that's a problem nationally. And the caregivers, although they came in with love, they wanted to help and they wanted to learn. I learned that they were not trained sufficiently. They for sure were not paid sufficiently. They were not represented. We do not have a union that serves them. So they're in many ways exploited by the business, by the industry. And in many situations, so the facility who was unable to increase its staffing level on any given day would make a call to an agency for a temporary, or many temporary caregivers, all of whom I'm sure came with the same desire to be helpful, but they didn't know the residents, they didn't know the meds, they didn't know the schedule, and they were not really helpful in the way that we needed help, that my mom needed help.
And yet at the same time, you write that there's been this explosion in assisted living facilities since 2018. Why are we seeing so many of these facilities open if they can't be properly staffed?
Why are we? Because these are businesses that are not supervised. These are businesses that have no federal oversight, no federal regulation. I can tell you that in Wisconsin, there are some regulations, but they're minimal. And until we have some oversight, this falls into the category of profiteering.
We're talking with Judy Karofsky about her new book. It's called Diselderly Conduct, The Flawed Business of Assisted Living and Hospice. And she wrote it after her mother's experience of aging and dying in these facilities in Dane County. Judy, the cost of long-term care in hospice is staggering. I mean, you paid $17,000 in rent up to facilities during your mother's last 2 months of life. Why is it so expensive?
Because it can be, quite honestly. Paying for somebody who interviewed me said, "This sounds like it's just a hotel with some services." And I said, "Yes, that was the model at one point." And I also in the book, Kate, discuss hospice and the hospice is not we're not charged for hospice. So if hospice becomes part of the caregiving team, that does not add an additional cost. You would think, I thought, that once hospice became part of my mother's caregiving team, there might be some reduction in the rates from the assisted living, but that didn't happen.
Your mother breaks the timeline for hospice and is kicked out of hospice. Can
was.
You talk about that rule, those rules of hospice?
As I just said, hospice receives its funds through reimbursements from Medicare, and Medicare sets the rules. And the rules are this: people who are near death are eligible if a physician on the hospice staff, the local hospice staff, can or will determine that person only has 6 months to live. Well, how can you do that? I mean, you can for, and unfortunately, you can for some situations, but my mother was not suffering from either heart disease or diabetes or cancer. And it's even difficult with those three, but those are the three main medical problems that bring people to hospice. My mother had a more lingering situation. She was aging. Aging was actually what my mother was dying from. So when she was 99 and a half, they said, she's been on hospice for too long. And within 48 hours, the hospice nurse would not do anything with or for my mother because she was no longer a hospice recipient. I had to find a wheelchair for her. I had to keep track of her meds. I had to buy all the bandages and supplies that she would, cough medicine. She was going through a lot of cough medicine. So that was exhausting for me and quite unfortunate for my mother. At the very end of her life, she was reinstated in hospice. They did acknowledge that she had declined to the extent that hospice could be involved again.
What did this do to you and your life? You were in your 70s and
I was
being the
70s.
Point person on Care for Your Mom. Mm-hmm.
It made me aware of the failings in the industry. It made me aware of the untruths, of the deceptions. It made me aware of abuse, Kate. Unfortunately, my mother was both sexually abused in one facility and physically abused in another facility, to the point at which a police person was called. And I have pictures of those bruises. I just did one step at a time, one day at a time, because during the days, this woman was still fun. She recognized me. We did not lose that. So I was blessed in that sense that she knew who I was when I walked in the room and her face lit up. And who would not keep coming to have that welcome every day if able to do it? And I was at that point retired and able to spend all the time with her. And she was fun. If I took her in the summer, if I took her for a wheelchair walk, she loved the gardens along the way. She knew where she was. There were certain foods that she liked to have. But underneath it was heartache because I knew that doing the best I could in this community, in a community like this one, Dane County, Madison, Wisconsin, liberal, caregiving, that my mother was not receiving the kind of care that she deserved, which meant that others next to her, with her, in the same room with her, were not deserving the care that they deserved.
How do your mother's experiences that you lived yourself, how do they inform your own choices going forward in your life?
Personally, I've recently relocated, so I no longer have a house with stairs to the basement to the laundry. I have a one floor situation, but it's not in a facility. And I'm looking ahead because I can't be blind about it to a time when I have two bedrooms. I'm sitting in one of them now, which is my office, and a caregiver will accompany me. And that's everybody's dream. It's always been the cry, no nursing homes. Of course, nursing home is sort of the generic term. And included in that is the sense that people also do not want to have to go to assisted living. But the time comes, and I listened after my mother had her stroke, and I had no choice. There was I could have, I suppose, moved into her, but there wasn't a way that I could do that given the type independent living apartment that she was in. Can you tell? I have no answer, but I have good thoughts. I don't know. Mm. And my hope is that those who are faced with a decision more timely than I am will pay attention and say, this is not what we can or should be doing.
Judy, thank you for sharing your story, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so grateful to you for bringing this issue to light to your audience today, Kate. Thank you.
That is Judy Karofsky. Her new memoir is called Disselderly Conduct, The Flawed Business of Assisted Living and Hospice.